hear this. You can have real friendship with God. You can have real friendship with God. That is possible for you. You made it to the Devoted Life Podcast. I'm Justin Kendrick, and I am so glad that you decided to join us for episode 2. Every month, we're putting out an episode this year, the last Thursday of every month. If this content blesses you, if it challenges you in your faith, I just want to encourage you, like it, subscribe it, share it with a friend, do something to help us get the word out and help us reach more people. But today, episode 2, we're going to be looking at how to pray actually. And so if you're a follower of Jesus and you're growing in your faith, maybe you've been following Jesus for 20 years or for a year or for 6 months, prayer is one of the essential aspects of our spiritual walk. And so today we're just going to jump into how do we actually pray? You know, I think for a lot of Christians, there is this corporate guilt around prayer. You know, like we say, well, I always feel like I should be praying more. I talk to Christians all the time where I say, well, do you have a prayer life? And they'll say, yeah, I pray. And then, well, do you pray enough, right? And it's always like, well, no, I don't. In fact, almost every Christian I've ever asked says, I don't pray enough. You know, there's a passage in the Bible that says to pray without ceasing. And so when you read that passage, it's kind of like, okay, I'm a failure, right? Like, I just can't do this. And so today you're driving in your car, you're getting your workout in, whatever you're giving these 30 minutes to, I want to set you free. I want to set you free and hopefully give you some handles for how you can have a prayer life that you're not always operating from a place of shame and feeling like you don't have what it takes. And so how much prayer is enough? What does it look like? What do I do during sometimes a prayer? We're going to get into all that today. If you've not checked out episode 1, where we talk about a seeking God lifestyle, that'll be helpful. That'll be helpful for you as we dive into this topic of prayer. So make sure you check that out. All right. So let's start a little bit with the why. Why do we pray? Right? Why do we actually pray? And I just want to give you 3 quick handles for this so that you can really have the right mindset as you go into a life of prayer. The first really simple thing is my conviction, and I believe it's a biblical conviction, is that we pray because prayer changes things. Prayer actually changes things. It's not just a kind of a exercise for the soul. It's actually a transforming agent. I remember as a young man, somebody gave me the book Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. And that book just rocked my world. It looked at all the accounts in the Bible and in history of times where prayer changed things. And you read in the scriptures about how Elijah prayed and it didn't rain. Then he prayed again and it did rain. That it actually changed things. You look at the story of Hannah, who prayed for a son and God answered her prayer and she became pregnant and she sought the Lord and it changed things. We look at Moses, where he prayed that God would spare a nation. And God responds to Moses' prayer and shows mercy to Israel. We look at all the different times in the scriptures. There's a time where Peter is in prison and we're told that the church, the Christians, start to pray and God sends an angel and delivers Peter out of prison. Paul prayed for a man who was sick and this pagan man who didn't know God was miraculously, supernaturally healed. On and on and on. James chapter 5, verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Why is this so important? Because if we're going to spend 30 minutes today on this podcast talking about prayer, you have to operate from a deep conviction that your prayer actually matters. And I think a lot of Christians, we don't pray, and the real root reason is because I don't really think it changes much. And if I don't have a conviction that it actually changes things, then I'm never going to develop the discipline of prayer. And so what we see all through scripture is that there is a God who is sovereign, who has a providential plan for the human race, but his sovereign plan plays out in concert with the prayers of his people. He actually chooses to give us the opportunity to participate in his plan through prayer. And so prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. I look at my own life and, you know, just recently we were making a decision for one of my kids in school and we were praying and praying, asking God for guidance. And we felt like the Lord said, take the step and trust me for some of the resources we would need for this school to happen. And we did. We stepped out, we trusted God, and then we asked God, God, would you provide miraculously? Well, we're a year in, and we've watched now over the last year, God miraculously provide again and again, a direct answer to our prayers. We've been praying for New England. Chrissy and I, this area of the country, you may not be from New England, listen to this right now, but this is the least churched region in the United States. And we have asked God to bring awakening and to draw people to Jesus. And we have seen thousands respond. And I know it's not just our prayers, but the prayers of many for this region. And, you know, it changes things. It changes things. I remember years ago, this is crazy, my wife lost her glasses. And she's like, Justin, I can't find my glasses. I don't know where they are. And I just said, well, why don't we just stop and pray? And I said, Holy Spirit, would you please help us? At the time, we were living as missionaries, finances were really tight. We didn't want to lose a pair of glasses. And I remember I said, like, God, would you just prompt us? Where are these glasses? And I shot up out of my seat, walked upstairs, opened a drawer in our cupboard, went to the back section of that drawer, and there were my wife's glasses. It was Chrissy's cupboard. I'd never looked in there, but the Holy Spirit just gave me a picture in my mind that that's where the glasses were, and they were. She thought I was a ninja, but really it was just a moment, right, where God broke through, answer to prayer. Prayer changes things. First thing, very simple, you got to live with that conviction. Second thing is prayer changes me. It changes me. Something happens inside of me when I pray. And when you go through the Bible, you see that this plays out again and again. Like Elijah was depressed and he processed his depression with God and was eventually overcame it through prayer. Peter, he was a racist and he didn't even know his racist tendencies until through prayer, Acts chapter 10, God actually exposed it. And really healed him. And he had a process, but it was the beginning of the process. Paul, he was called to plant churches during a time in Antioch where he was praying with other leaders. And so look at their calling, sin in their heart, struggles, emotional struggles, mental struggles like depression or fear. They were dealt with through prayer. Just recently, I was praying and, I had a frustration about a few things happening in life. And when I got alone with the Lord, the Holy Spirit really started to show me that my problem wasn't my problem, but the problem under my problem was the problem, right? And so as soon as I dealt with the problem under the problem and actually really gave that to God, the problem I was dealing with disappeared. And a lot of times in prayer, that's what happens. You know, I love what Pete Scazzaro says. He says that unprocessed emotions they don't die. They just get buried alive. And so a lot of times we have a situation in our life that's unprocessed, and we think it's gone, but it's actually messing up our lives because it's not dealt with. In prayer, God deals with those things. He exposes them. He reveals them. And then the last thing that real simple is prayer. It changes your relationship with God. It changes things. It changes me. And it changes your relationship with God. Samuel learned God's voice through praying. Moses became God's friend through praying. I love Psalm 25. It says, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. He makes known to them his covenant. My eyes," the writer says, "are ever toward the Lord. He will pluck my feet out of the net." And so his eyes were consistently toward the Lord. And because of that, a friendship developed, a real friendship with God. And I just want you to hear this. Whatever you're doing right now, you're on your treadmill, you're sitting in your car, whatever you're doing as you're listening to this podcast, hear this. You can have real friendship with God. You can have real friendship with God. That is possible for you, not just for the preacher, not just for some super spiritual grandma that you have in your family. For you, you can have that. And you can have it as you learn to develop a life of prayer. So how do we pray, right? We just talked about why we pray. It changes things. It changes me. It builds relationship with God. How do we pray? Well, there's a lot of different approaches, and many of them add tremendous value. And so we're just going to hit a few today, try to give you some handles to amplify your prayer life. But here's what I know. If you don't have a plan, your prayer life will stink, okay? Most of us have been to the gym and seen that guy who doesn't have a plan, right? He shows up at the gym, he kind of wanders around, he fills his water bottle, he does some bicep curls, right? And then he walks over, chats with a friend, never breaks a sweat, never lifts heavy, kind of doesn't really get much done, leaves an hour later. If that's your plan for prayer, you'll never build spiritual muscles, okay? You have to actually have a plan, and then you have to work that plan. And so my goal here today is maybe I can add one or two tools to your tool belt as you pray. And so I want to just hit you with six pretty quick, okay? Six different tools that you can switch the order of. You can kind of switch the amount of time you give each one. You can do three of these or one of these or all six of these in a prayer time. But these are six tools that I use constantly in my prayer life. The first is thanks, okay? Thanks, super easy tool. You open your mouth and you tell God, thanks. You tell him, thank you. You know, we live in a super selfish, self-absorbed, ungrateful society. So the world is going to teach you not to be grateful. But if you would start your day, I typically like to, first thing I committed 2024, every day starts on my knees. First thing I do, hit the knees. And I think of things to thank God, at least five. I try to go for 10. Thank you specifically for this. Here's what I know. You do 10 of those and your whole perspective on the day changed. And so their prayer changed you. But it also just began to change things because it created a grateful atmosphere between you and the Lord. Friendship starts to grow. So thanks is one. Another one is what I would call liturgy. Anything that you're repeating that is already written. So this could be the Lord's Prayer, right? This could be singing a song. This could be some church history liturgy. This could be a favorite passage that you read through. But this is a really helpful one for me to kind of get my mind focused and my heart centered on God. And so almost every day I do the Lord's Prayer and I just do it slow and I repeat it and I speak it out loud. So thanks and then liturgy. Another little tool that you can throw into your tool belt, we're going to dive into some of these more specifically, is what I call the examine. I do this every day. And part of my prayer life, the examine is really built around two questions. And a lot of times you can write your answers down or just think about them. One thing you think about is, hey, in the last 24 hours, where did I love well? In the last 24 hours, where did I fail to love well? And you can blow that out and kind of ask a few other questions like, Lord, where did I show humility? Where did I fail to show humility? Where did I sacrifice for others? Or where did I prefer my own comfort? You make a list right now. My personal examine every day has got about six questions. And I go through those every morning and I reflect on the last 24 hours. And I'm just thinking with God. It's just time to reflect and pray. So you got thanks, you got liturgy, you got the examine. These are all tools. Silence. Silence is an incredible tool in prayer. What I like to do is I'll just take like maybe 5 minutes or 4 minutes or 6 minutes. I'll set an alarm on my phone and I'll just invite the Lord. Be still, be quiet, and let the dust settle. And that's a real discipline because you're going to want to pick up your phone, you're going to want to run to this or that. But as you begin to amplify and grow in the ability to be quiet, the voice of God gets clearer and clearer. And then one more before we get to the one that most people think of in prayer, which is requests, is praying the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are a great mold to pray. And so just read a Psalm out loud and pray it. And it's a great tool to get your heart or your mind going. All right, so that's five. Thanks, liturgy, examine, silence, and praying the Psalms. All cool little tools you can add to your prayer life. Maybe you've never done one of those. Maybe you've never done all five of those. Add some. Add some this week, all right? And so that'll be the challenge as we wrap up this podcast in a few minutes. But I want to talk a little bit about requests, and then we're going to dive into some conversation. But requests, what does it mean to make requests of God? Now, when people think of prayer, they almost always think of requests, right? Hey, I'm praying for you. I'm making requests for you. How do you make requests that get answered? Well, a few little tips. First of all, when I'm making requests in my prayer life, I like to go big to small. In other words, I don't start with my problems and my pains, even though God cares. I start with the world, with the nations, with the poor, and then I narrow it down to with my country, with government leaders, with my region, with my state, with my city, with my friends, with my family, with myself. And so I like to go wide to narrow. And the reason I do that is because by the time I get to me, it's changed my perspective because I've spent time thinking about the nations. And so like today, I'm praying this morning for Bangladesh and for the gospel to spread across India, right? And so by the time I get to me, my problems just look different. Doesn't mean they don't matter. It just means they look different. And so that's one way to do requests. Another thing we're going to get into a little bit more is I like to pray scripture. I like to actually pray promises in the Bible and really actually articulate back to God his word in prayer. Another little tool I'll do with requests is I have a little book. I just picked this up from a friend who was telling me about how they do this, and it's helpful. I write down very specific prayer requests of God, and I date them. I try to do two or three every morning, just two or three specific requests. Sometimes I'll go through and I'll pray the last 3 weeks of requests again. Sometimes I'll just add a couple. But what I will do is I'll go back and I'll check marks next to the ones that are actually answered. It's pretty awesome when you do that for a year and you start to see, wow, God answered 63 prayers, specific prayers this year. A powerful little tool for requests. And so those are just some things to kind of get yourself started. So as you've listened to this podcast so far, let's just take a pump the brakes for a second. What do you have to do? You got to set a time to pray, right? Set a time every day. Then you got to actually build a map. We gave you just six little tools: thanks, liturgies, examine, silence, praying the Psalms, making requests. I could add another 20, but those are just some that'll help you get going. Make a map. So I'm going to spend 10 minutes on requests, and then I'm going to spend 5 minutes just thanking God, and then I'm going to take 5 minutes just to be silent, and then I'm going to do an examine for 5 minutes, right? And now I built it out. Oh my goodness, I've already prayed 30 minutes. This is crazy, right? It's building my muscle of prayer. All right, let's talk it out. You ready? This is where it gets fun. We're going to dive in. I asked a dear friend, a man of God, an amazing leader in our church to just jump in with us today. The one and only Mr. Jeremiah Johnson. Thanks for being with us. I'm glad that you're here. And I just want to chat it up about prayer. And so if you know Jeremiah, he's our pastor at our Hartford location. And he's also a man of prayer. And you've blessed me so many times that you and I have gotten to pray together. Your prayer life encourages my prayer life. And every time I'm with you, we get to dive in and begin to seek God for things. I've just watched the Lord use you to encourage me. And so that's awesome. But I think your prayer life also could just add some benefit to just everybody listening to this podcast today. And so as you think about your prayer life, think of like one thing that you've done in prayer that's made a significant impact for you in your walk with God. When I ask you that, what comes to mind?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I appreciate the kind words too, Justin. But when I think about that, what's been impactful in my prayer life, really one of the first things that comes to mind, man, is every time before I read the Word of God, I pray. I pray every single time before I read the Word of God. And I know that sounds super practical and simple, but what it helps me to do is to posture my heart before the Lord in a way that prepares myself to receive what he has for me. Right, and even as I say that, there's no magic words with the prayer or anything like that, but it's positioning our heart before him. So for me, what that looks like, I'm kind of a creature of habit, so I pray the exact same prayer every time before I open the Word of God. I just say, God, would you produce in me a greater longing? Mm. Would you produce in me a deeper desire and a stronger hunger for your Word?
Longing, desire, hunger.
Yeah. Longing, desire, hunger. Then I say, God, would you strengthen me? Would you encourage me? Yep. And would you challenge me? And would you also convict me by the truth of your Word? And again, that's just what he put on my heart. There's no magic words, but I find when I do that, now I'm approaching the Word of God with humility, with submission, with joy, and with expectation. And it all started just with praying to him for that. So there's a real relationship I found between our prayer and the revelation that we receive from God's
Word. Good.
There's a linkage between the two. Because it's easy just to if we're not doing that, to kind of just pray or read the Word, and it kind of just feel like obligation. Yes. Or I'm doing this, but I got like the car ride that's in 15 minutes on my mind, or the next thing. But when I take just a moment to pray before I read the Word, man, it just opens the floodgates.
Come on,
to what God asked for us.
That's so good. Hey, don't miss that. Everybody listening right now, don't miss that. That is gold. That will change the Bible for you. And I think, Jeremiah, what you're saying, and it's so important, is that we can't really, truly, deeply understand or apply God's Word without the work of the Spirit. And so like when you have the discipline of saying, hey, I always pray before I read the Bible, what you're doing is you're admitting that. You're saying, God, you're the vine, I'm the branch. I can't understand this. I might intellectually be able to grasp the phrases on the page, but spiritually I can't be changed unless you do a work in me.
That's right.
I remember years ago, Desiring God had a thing. It was called APTAT. I can't even remember what it was for, but it was like admit, and I don't remember the next one. But like the first thing was like, I admit that I can't understand the scripture without you, that you teach the humble. And they were saying like, you should go through that process every single time. I have it in my prayer journal that I use, but I didn't memorize it. Every single
Piper,
time.
Right?
Yeah. Every time you read, you go, all right, I admit, and it postures your heart in a place where now the Holy Spirit can actually speak to you through the scripture.
Yeah.
So let's connect to that, because one of the things that I love about you is that when we pray together, I'm like, man, you can't get through a sentence without praying a scripture. And I'm all about that. Like, to me, that is, that's awesome. Because like, hey, if we really believe that God wrote a book, we should probably use it as a tool to pray to God, right? And, you know, before we jump into that, just a thought on just this idea of praying before you read the scripture. I do think what it does is it like, it postures your heart to understand the scripture. But one thing that resource I mentioned tells you to do is ask the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to feel while I read this text? Mm-hmm. So in other words, you're almost like adjusting your feelings in accordance with what the Bible's teaching you to feel. Like, so Lord, if I'm saying holy, holy, holy from the Psalms is the Lord God Almighty, what am I supposed to feel when I say that? Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to feel that you're separate from me. You're different than I am, Lord. You're set apart and you're glorious. You're special, God. Holy are you. And so in doing that with the scripture, you're actually training your heart to see the world as God is teaching us to see it. But when I pray with you, back to what I've said before, when I pray with you, a lot of times I'm so encouraged because, like, again, you can't stop like using the Bible for your prayers. So how did you get into that habit, and what does that look like for you to use the Bible to pray?
Yeah, you know, really when I think about that, it's all simple again as well, but it's just intentionally taking time to memorize scripture.
Yeah. You know, ding, 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 ding. We stop there for a second because, hey, let's be honest. You're listening to this? So true confessions. My son, I'm not trying to blow him up, but he had like a test where he had to like, what scripture have you memorized and what does it mean? And he went with John 3:16, and I was like, "Come on, man! Like that's like the football scripture. Like that's like the one that they hold up in every NFL stadium."
It's still great though.
It's a solid. I mean, it's a solid scripture. But my point is, like, we don't memorize scripture like the saints of old. Mm. So I think that's a really important takeaway, and I want to get back to what you're saying. But like, memorizing scripture is a discipline. You know, and it's a discipline that a lot of people are like, ah, that's old school, because we don't memorize anything. Like, right? Like, hey, what year was the state you live in founded? I don't know. What year was Ronald Reagan president? I don't know. Like, we just don't memorize dates anymore or facts anymore because, hey, everything lives on my phone, right? Like, I can just get whatever I want. But memorizing scripture isn't about not being able to access it. It's about getting it in your heart so that it comes out of you, right? So, okay, so you memorize it. Yep.
Yeah, so memorizing scripture and then having some, you talk so much about the pragmatism of having goals, having goals in your time with God, in your prayer time. Same thing with something like this, with scripture memorization. So I would encourage anyone who's listening to have some sort of metric for this.
Okay.
Maybe you say, hey, I want to memorize a scripture a week.
Yep.
So 52 scriptures out of the year. Personally, that's what I go for every year.
Yeah,
and
that's huge.
I did that last year. I didn't get to 52.
Okay.
And that's okay. I got to like 37 or 38.
Well, I think you disappointed God. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I only say that because, again, you know, it's important for us as we're talking about this whole topic to approach this the right way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing this to earn points with God.
Right.
I'm not doing this to make myself feel better. No, I'm doing this because I love Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm doing this because I want to grow closer to him.
Come on.
So I would say, have a goal in mind. Maybe you say, I'm going to do one scripture memorization this month.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
I mean, that's 12 for the year.
Solid. Yep.
12 scriptures from the Word of God that you put to memory. So build that into your quiet time routine. And then another, these are also simple, but another thing
huge,
is
man.
To write it, to literally write the scripture in your journal.
Like Bart Simpson on the you know, I will not pull Lisa's hair. Yeah. Just write it.
Yeah. And I'm a visual person. Yep. You know, I'm visual. So when I write something down, it just sticks more in my head. So I would encourage you, if you have a journal, to pick a scripture and then write it down.
Yeah.
And then build in time specifically throughout your quiet time routine. So maybe you even have a specific day. Like I have one or two days where part of my quiet time routine is just scripture memorization. So I take 10 or 15 minutes to do that. Otherwise, you say, you pick out a scripture, you write it down, but then you never memorize it.
Yep.
And then, you know, it never actually happens. So get a goal. Pick a rhythm, pick a cadence for that. And then you'll start to see, at least for me, you know, as you're reading the Bible, and you're talking about this earlier, about how your feelings begin to match the Word of God. You'll see when you read the Bible, it'll begin to stand out to you. Like things will begin to pop out the page at you because it's already in you. And now you're just looking for more. And then one more just quick practical scripture memorization.
Yep.
This is just for me. You got to find out what works for you. But what works for me, as I read the Bible and as things stick out, because I've asked God to, would you open up my eyes and things start sticking out, I actually just have a little document, just a little Word document that when God illuminates a passage or a scripture to me, man, I highlight it from the Bible app and I put it in this document.
Okay.
So I have a whole document. I've been doing this for years of just a ton of Bible passages. So now,
you know what to memorize too.
I know what to memorize. I don't have to take 10 or 15 minutes and say, what should I memorize?
Right.
I was like, no. Let me just go to this document that has a bunch of passages that the Lord has already spoken to me.
It's good.
And then just pick one of those.
I like that. So, I'm gonna steal that. Yeah. That's so good. You know, and I think just remember, this is scientific too, right? So the human brain works with neural pathways, and anytime there's repetition, it's like they say, how did they plan? I don't think this is true, but how'd they plan the city of Boston? Well, they say it's just cow paths, right? They just paved the cow paths. And if you ever take much time to drive around the city of Boston, it feels like they just paved the cow paths because there's no order. It's not like New York. It's not on a grid.
Yeah.
It's just chaotic. But that's how our brains are, is that we all have cow paths. And so every thought I have is a little road. And every time I run down that road again, it widens the road. It pats down the dirt. And so if there are neural pathways, you actually have to begin to intentionally restructure the highways of your brain. Mm-hmm. And this is why God's word is so powerful, because by memorizing it, what are you doing? You're building a new road. And so, hey, like this trial is God abandoning me. But James says, count it all joy when you fall into trials, because the testing of your faith produces endurance, and that endurance will make you perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so now that's a new path. And so every time I pray that, I'm building a highway in my brain to think differently about the trial until the point where it goes from a cow path to a road to an interstate to an absolute six-lane highway. And now I start to feel joy when I fall into a trial because my instincts have changed.
Yeah.
And so that's how that memorization can actually change our prayer lives. Mm-hmm. When you think about your prayer life, what's one way that you've been challenged in prayer and maybe something you did to overcome?
Yeah. You know, I would say not allowing my emotions or how I feel in the moment dictate the quality of my experience in prayer with God.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is, maybe you can relate to this as you're listening, but there are times, man, where I'm in prayer and I just, man, I just feel the fire, God. Like I can feel God, I can sense him, and I'm into it, and then there's other times where I'm like half awake.
Totally.
And then it just seems so dull or boring, and like, you know, what's happening right now? Why don't I feel right now the same way I felt yesterday? And you know, for me, it's easy to in those moments to look to myself, you know, like, oh man, maybe I gotta re-strategize some things, or you know, maybe, you know, where's that feeling coming from, or how can I regain it? And listen, we talked about it. Strategy is so, so important.
Yep.
But you know, these things have their place. But prayer is a time where we should not be looking to ourselves.
Yep.
But we should be looking to God.
Good.
Right.
Yeah.
We should be looking to God. So prayer is not really about how I feel, but prayer is really an outworking of the position that we have as believers before God because of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? So which leads me to something like Hebrews 4:16.
Yep.
You know, one of my favorite verses, it says, let us then with confidence
right.
draw near to the throne of grace.
Yep.
Right. That we may receive mercy
Yeah.
Find grace to help in our time of need. So to me, that passage speaks of don't let your feelings get in the way.
Yeah.
Because of our position in Christ, I should at all times when I'm praying draw near to the throne of grace with confidence.
Yeah, that's huge.
Right? That has nothing to do with how I feel. That's more so about my position before God through Christ Jesus. And even just as a practical coming out of that, I've started to adopt taking prayers and turning them into declarations of faith. Prayers and turning them into declarations of faith. So if you're out there and you've had moments of like, man, I'm really feeling it in this moment of prayer, then the next day you're like, you know, I'm not feeling it. I want to encourage you, take a passage from scripture and turn it into a declaration of prayer. So for me, as I think about Hebrews 4:16, one of the declarations of faith that I pray over speak out loud every single day is that I'm confident, not because of my own strength or ability, but because of the access I have towards God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So what did I just do there? When I speak that out loud, I'm kind of taking my emotions out of the equation.
Yes.
Not that emotions don't matter. They have
they
their
do.
Place.
Yep.
But again, we are positioned before God, but because of our faith in Christ Jesus. So as I begin to repeat these truths and say them out loud, now I'm approaching God. I'm approaching prayer from this place of confidence that is not contingent on how I feel.
Boom. Listen, that's a great closing thought, because a lot of times we think, well, this is just how I feel. And one of the steps of maturity in your walk with Jesus, in your life in general, is to realize that by God's grace, you can guide your emotions in particular directions. You don't have always direct access, but you do always have indirect access. And prayer is one of the great ways that God enables us to redirect how we feel. And so we've got to be able to, and this is similar to any discipline, right? We've got to be able to do it when we don't feel it. And then as you do it, when you don't feel it, you start to feel it more.
Yeah,
and that's one of the great ways that we're transformed. All right, there's your 30 minutes. Listen, I want to challenge you as you've listened to this. We've talked about prayer, lots of practical things, lots of little tools. I want to challenge you at least 15 minutes for the next 30 days, every day, listening from this to the next month, 30 days, all right? Every day, 15 minutes locked in. Take some of the tools, build your own map. Maybe it's 5 minutes of thanks, 5 minutes of scripture memorization, 5 minutes of silence, and build out your 15 or more minutes and begin this discipline of prayer. Here's what I know. It will change things. It will change you, and you'll begin to grow a deeper relationship with God than you've ever had before. It's not just for a select few. It is for you. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If this content has encouraged you, blessed you, challenged you, inspired you, I just want to encourage you, share it, like it, tell somebody about it, and help us reach more people with this content. And again, this is all about living that devoted life. So this month, until the next podcast comes out, take one more step towards a devoted life to Christ. I can tell you this, it's only God's grace that's going to give you the strength, but you'll never regret it. God bless. Thanks for joining us today.